Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, and follow him on Twitter as well, Pick Six Previews. Bottom of the hour, just about, 25 minutes out on Brett Ciancia. Blake Ruffito, top of hour two down in Louisiana. LSU and some SEC ball and some college football with him. And then Josh Newberg from 24/7 Sports down in Tampa. Florida State, Saturday, I know we're a few days out now, but played their best game in probably a couple of years. Beat North Carolina, had a big lead, had to hang on, but they did hang on. And they've got a little momentum here. We'll see what that means the rest of the way. Sometimes what you see on a Saturday is a predictor. When it comes to the future, sometimes it's not. I prefer every Saturday as a reset. It really is. For most teams. Now, if it's Clemson playing another ACC team, it's probably not a reset. It's probably another trouncing. But in most cases, I look at each Saturday as a reset. Anyways, 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill Is King. And email billisking7@gmail.com. That's how you get into us on the show. The various ways to communicate. If they come up with something newer and better, we'll add that to the list. But I don't see anything on the horizon that rivals the phones or Twitter. And if you really have to, you can email to those of you who are still stubborn and say, I'm not doing the social media thing, Bill, which is certainly your prerogative. But if you're like Aliquippa Bob for years just says, I'm not into it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Bob's a maniac now on it. He's and a good maniac, not a negative, not a good maniac. Alan in Tampa was one who wasn't on Twitter. And jumped on board. Quite a few of you. Now, again, Twitter, yes, it can be and is very toxic, I was trying to say. Yeah, toxic. It can be when it comes to other topics. But when it comes to the show, you certainly are not obligated to agree. Spirited disagreements are good. I like that. But it's not toxic. That's the difference. It's definitely not toxic. It's fun, and it's a fantastic way to communicate with the show. I continue to get excited about the Big Ten getting started. Actually, Friday night, Saturday. One game Friday night. Yeah, you get to see on Wisconsin on Friday night, it's the Illinois-Wisconsin game. Then on Saturday, the rest of the Big Ten gets after it, culminating Saturday night with that Michigan and Minnesota game. at Minnesota. That is on national network television Saturday night. So I'm excited. Yeah, we're seeing the SEC. Get to see each week. And we've been watching the Big 12, obviously, the ACC. Yeah, we've got those games, and those have been fun. I've enjoyed all of that. But we're adding to the arsenal here. It's not the way typical years work, but we have to be flexible here. Big Ten's getting started. Not optimally where we wanted them on the calendar, but guess what? They're getting started. That's a good thing. Now, something that is worrisome, and I don't want to be too negative here, but if they start missing games, there's nowhere to go. And they're only playing 8 regular season games anyways. I don't know what we're going to do about that. The committee will have some decisions to make. Now, the one team that has the most expectations from that league is clearly Ohio State. That's not an original thought, right? But what if they miss? What if Ohio State looks as good as anticipated? And let's say they go 6-0, two games are not played. Maybe the two games that aren't played aren't their fault. Maybe it was the other team having to cancel. You know, that's another angle. Does the committee take into account the reason why the game didn't get played? You're 6-0. I'm just making this up, okay? Just what if it? 6-0, the two games that you did not get played aren't your fault. The other team had the problem, unfortunately, and they had to cancel out of an abundance of caution. Because of the virus, they had to cancel. So you're 6-0, and those 6 games, you looked really good. Let's say one of those games was the Penn State game that you did play, and you looked really good on the road at Penn State. You took care of business. You took care of business in that game. Then you play the Big Ten Championship game, and you look good there. So that'd be 7 games. Yeah, you got to get that game in. Does the committee way that you only played 7. Now, you looked really good doing it. You did all you could do in each game. The games you didn't play aren't your fault. You were prepared to play. The other team had to cancel out of an abundance of caution. And then you have an SEC team. Let's say Alabama. There's no debate there. Let's say it's Alabama sitting there undefeated. Clemson sitting there undefeated. So they're in. But let's say Georgia the rest of the way looks really, really good. And they're 9-1. Well, actually, I can't say that because they'd have to rematch, right? Yeah, they'd have to rematch with Alabama. And, okay, well, let's go here. I know after Saturday night you're going to say this doesn't look likely, but let's just play. Let's say Georgia mends their ways from the Alabama game and they split with Alabama. Clemson's in. The SEC champion is in. That'd be Georgia. If they split, that'd be Georgia. Then you've got Alabama sitting there with one loss and a very good resume. And you have the Buckeyes. I guess the Buckeyes, would they get in sitting there at 7-0? They might. You're talking about controversy. And I'm just making up things here. I'm not predicting. Don't hit me up, Bill. It's not likely that, well, you know what? It's not likely that we're having a pandemic either. So the it's not likely probably shouldn't be a thing right now. There's a lot of things that aren't typically likely that we're dealing with right now. So, and again, I know what you're saying. Well, Bill, now you got the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is only playing 6 games regular season. So let's say Oregon goes all the way through and looks really good, plays all their 6, looks really good doing it too. Then wins the Pac-12 championship. They're 7-0. Ohio State 7-0. Or do you take some other team that played more games and they went 9-1 or whatever? Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Yeah, that's going to be fun to track. Let me get a call. Kip, I believe, is dialed us up here first, up in D.C. What's up, Kip?
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Hey,
morning, sir.
Good. Hey, but my music catalog has expanded over the past week. I guess I've heard Eyes of Texas and the UK fight song for the first time in my life.
Yeah, I've heard more people say Eyes of Texas the last 2 weeks, probably, than my entire life. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know. Crazy. Hey, is the Pac-12 only playing 6 regular season? I thought they were playing 7.
Is it 7? Now, does that include the Pac-12 championship game?
I think it's 7 plus the 1 plus, you know, plus the championship. I think if, say, if Oregon, you know, busted through that window, they go 8-0.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
While we're talking, I'll pull it up. Yeah, I'll pull it up.
Okay.
You may be right.
Yeah. That's an interesting scenario you brought up with, you know, say if the Buckeyes, you know, had to, you know, drop a game or two because of COVID situation, they only got to play like 7 games or something like that. And you had a Florida or Georgia, you know, end up 10-1 along with what will be a 10-1 Alabama. And also, let's throw this out there, what if Notre Dame had a very close loss to Clemson? Well, I guess they would have to. Well, what if Notre Dame and Clemson split? Close games.
You know what? And I'm a Notre Dame aficionado, as you know. I didn't even bring that up. I didn't even put that out there as a possibility.
Yeah. It doesn't seem possible.
Right.
It doesn't seem possible at all.
Here is Oregon's schedule. And it's only 6 games. It's Stanford, Washington State, that's 2. UCLA, Oregon State, that's 4. California, Washington, 5. And that Washington game, Oregon, is on December 12th. Pac-12 championship game is on the 18th. And, of course, on the 20th, let me make sure I've got that. Well, yeah, Pac-12 championship game. Then it says December. Well, what they're going to do, yeah, here's what they're going to do. You've got a good point. They're going to play division on division. One versus one will be the championship game, but 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3. So I guess that is the 7th game. Yeah, that's
– Oh, okay.
So Oregon would play – if Oregon wins it all – they'll play 7 games, including the championship. The other teams will get 7 games because they're doing the Big Ten schedule where it's or whoever. They're doing 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, et cetera.
Okay, yeah. That's
where the trick is.
Yeah, that's not enough for Oregon, especially if you got multiple, you know, what could be 10-win teams. I mean, even if a 9-1 A&M or something like that, I don't know. You got to have style points if you can be Oregon to do that.
Now, here's something I was just talking about earlier. Do you think the committee will take into account you didn't get to play this game or that game, but it's not your fault? The other team canceled. Is that an item that's legit?
Oh, it really is legit. Oh, most definitely. It's most definitely legit if a game gets taken off the table, and especially if it's not your fault. That's
right.
That's definitely on the table. Now, I would wonder if the Big Ten or another conference would do. And follow me here. So let's say I don't know, Ohio State and Minnesota were not scheduled to play, but their two opponents for a particular week had COVID issues, which would cancel that game. Does the Big Ten have the authority to say, okay, Ohio State, Minnesota, you guys play? Can they do that? Can they turn around that fast? To have another game?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, that'll throw off the balance a bit, but I don't know.
Right. Oh, man.
I know we're getting close to the break, but I had another question for you.
Yes, sir. No worries.
Came up yesterday. Yeah, Hugh Freeze thing came up yesterday. Do you think, and he's probably not in a position to do this, but do you think Hugh Freeze is holding to the SEC? Or, I think if a job opened up, I mean, any attractive Power 5 job opened up, he would look around. I mean, I'm even looking at some of these teams on the Eastern Seaboard, in the ACC that may have an opening. Let's say Lockley falls flat, or if Average Joe has to get replaced at VTech, or maybe at Mendenhall at UVA. And then even, you know, out west, if USC did want to make a move, would he go all the way out there? What's your thoughts on that?
I think if he could get his hands on, and I do relegate him as a Southern or Eastern Seaboard guy, but if you offered him the keys to the Trojan machine, you got to go. It's probably not what you've been thinking about all your life, but to get your hands on that brand and his ability to recruit, oh, you got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely gonna be a hot commodity. You know, of course, I'm a Gator fan, but I've actually this year have been kind of semi rooting for Miami to have an okay season.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want Diaz to be fired and they bring Freeze into Miami.
Hadn't even thought of that. That's you give him. Remember, we've been talking about, like, if somebody got the Maryland job and you could recruit and dominate the Eastern Seaboard, he may be that kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not running away from any fight, but there are certain coaches that, you know, didn't want to see there. Like, I was happy to see Stoops not be interested in the Florida State job or something like that. I mean, Bill, if Lincoln Riley took took an NFL job, would Mark Stoops go to Oklahoma?
Probably.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that as well. That's a possibility.
Kip, appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks, I appreciate it.
There you go. Kip up in D.C. I know I'm way late here. Kevin on Twitter. Bill, did you see the temp in Minneapolis for Saturday night? Kevin, I didn't. I'm assuming you're telling me it's going to be brutal, like chilly. Tell me what it is, because I hadn't even looked. I haven't even thought that far down the road. I assume that's what you're trying to tell me there. But let me know, Kevin. Saturday night in Minneapolis. Ouch. All right, break. Way late. Bottom of the hour, Brett Ciancia. That's a couple of minutes out here, so we'll have to turn this next one quickly. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. This 18-wheeler remains on its right side where it flipped out here on 40 westbound at the West Loop. This thing's going to remain out here for quite some time this morning, so avoid this area on 40 westbound. Again, here at the West Loop. Still working an accident, 24 eastbound at Harding Place. It's over to the side. Building through Mount Julian right now on 40 westbound. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out. Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Allstate now has deeper savings, and deeper savings require deep thoughts and a deep voice, like mine. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise, and save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. As someone once said, saving today is money tomorrow. That's deep.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-ins is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at nissanofrivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Yeah, Brett Cianci, at bottom of the hour. Kevin down there in Georgia. Dublin, Georgia. Bill, did you see the temp in Minneapolis for Saturday night? I didn't know if he was setting me up like chilly or if it's unusually balmy. I didn't know. I looked it up. It's going to be chilly. Of course, that's typical for Minneapolis. Us Southerners don't necessarily get it, but yeah, I tweeted it. The high on Saturday is 32. Saturday night can get as low as 25, and they're talking about some snow, perhaps. Some precip. That's the Michigan-Minnesota game. You know what? I'm fired up about it. That makes it even better. Now, could we handle that down here? Probably not. I'm not saying I want that, but that makes that game even more attractive to me. Let's do it. So your opener in the Big Ten in Minneapolis, if you're the maize and blue, is a high that day of 32. You're playing that night. Wow. Yeah, Kevin, appreciate you pointing that out. Wasn't even thinking about the weather in late October in Minneapolis. Jeremy, down in Georgia, too. Bill, I'm sure Freeze would love to get his hands on a Trojan machine, if you catch my drift. I figured something like that was coming. I figured somebody would have something for me there. Kevin says, Bill, I'm a Georgia Southern alum, but I love Big Ten football, especially when it's cold. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Jamos says, Bill, I was just looking at the interest rates. Yeah, you know what? When I pulled it up from Minneapolis, it had one of those ads on it. Lending Tree, I guess it is. And that wasn't the point. If you find something you like there, that's good, though. I was just trying to get to Minneapolis and its weather on Saturday night for that Michigan game. That game's in the one slot for me. It's usually SEC games or, you know, some big rivalry, et cetera. It's usually because SEC is where most of the passion is. but not this Saturday coming up. I got a bunch of Big Ten games in there. Yeah, Buckeyes get started early. They play Nebraska. That Penn State-IU game has a chance, too, as well. SEC this weekend, this Saturday, it's always good. I mean, I enjoy it no matter who's playing when and where in the SEC, but it's not the sexiest. If you're comparing it, it's not the most attractive we've ever seen. That's okay. That's okay. I love it just the same. Zach says he's taking a look at that 2.13 interest rate on that ad there. That I didn't have time. I just wanted to get that temp out there to you folks. All right. We'll take the break. That was a quick one there because I was running way long in the first block there. Brett Ciancia, bottom of the hour, right after this break, right here, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. This 18-wheeler remains on its right side where it flipped out here on 40 westbound at the West Loop. This thing's going to remain out here for quite some time this morning, so avoid this area on 40 westbound. Again, here at the West Loop. Still working an accident, 24 eastbound in Harding Place. It's over to the side. Building through Mount Julian right now on 40 westbound. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out. Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, you can buy a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $27.99. And as a bonus, you'll score a $10 gift card by mail-in rebate. That's like a cherry on top of the cherry on top of your oil change. So get $10 back by mail when you buy a jug of Mobil 1. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales price does not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/20.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, checks in with us on Wednesdays right here. And Brett, we were just looking. One of the folks out in the audience pointed this out. Minneapolis, Saturday night for the Michigan game. The high that day is 32. They're expecting it to be in the 20s. They're expecting, well, 60% chance, it says, of precipitation. So how about that for an opener?
Yeah, well, it makes that winter and spring season look pretty laughable, too. But, yeah, think of it. I mean, this is week one. It's not week 10 at this point. So I imagine it's getting a lot colder there. They don't have that Triple H dome anymore either. So, yeah, we're going to be in for an interesting weather season going deep in December up in the Northeast and the Midwest. So, yeah, that'll be crazy.
Does that change anything about that game? I mean, that's going to be a tough guy football game regardless of the weather, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, no, I don't think it changes the outlook of the game. You know, a lot of these teams are used to cold weather in general. They're right. Not used to frigid weather, but, you know, you're not getting Miami and Florida State up in the Northeast all of a sudden. So, no, I think it'll be pretty much the same style of football. And a true test for Michigan's new starting quarterback, Joe Milton.
Something that came up earlier as well, and we've got weeks and weeks to worry about this, but it's just we were discussing this prior. The Big Ten's only playing 8 games with no wiggle room for cancellations, and the Pac-12's playing 6. But then they're playing that additional 2-versus-2, 3-versus-3, while 1-versus-1 plays each other in the Pac-12 championship game. So technically they get 7 games. Will the committee take into account, obviously there's going to be different number of games per leagues, but will the committee, in your opinion, take into account a really good record? Let's say the Buckeyes go 6 or 7-0. Miss a couple of games, but they look really good in the games they played, about like you thought they would look. And the cancellations, let's say they were 2, were not their fault. It was the other team that had to cancel. Is that an item that the committee should consider?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think the key here in an odd season where the number of games is going to vary conference to conference, even within conference, like you said, based on cancellations, I mean, we could have a team from the SEC that misses out a 3 or 4 games. Looks like Florida might be that case this year. But I think the key being that loss column, where over the course of 150 years of college football, one of the few constants has been how important that undefeated card really is. And that puts your name right into the discussion right away. Now, will they take a 5-0, a 4-0? I don't know. It's getting pretty thin there.
Right.
But 6, 7, 8, 9, I think in that range, an undefeated team. Now, also, if you use Ohio State as that example, hopefully on that resume they have the Penn State win, the Michigan win, you know, they have their key moments, and also it looks pretty strong and have a nice margin of victory and, and pretty dominant play. So all that considered, yeah, I think an undefeated team still gets strong consideration, even if it's a little bit shorter of a schedule.
Jumping all over the place here, and we were talking about this yesterday on Tuesday, that Penn State-Ohio State game is just a week from Saturday. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah, it's sneaking up on you here. It's Ohio State really dodges a bullet this year because in the even years, even calendar years, they draw that whiteout atmosphere at Penn State where it's
right.
A night game, it's 110,000 all dressed in white, and arguably could be the best home field advantage on that night, that whiteout night.
Yeah.
So they dodge that. It'll be a gray out. It'll be just the empty bleachers. But more so with personnel, Penn State's without Micah Parsons, their best player. He was an All-American linebacker there in rush edge. And then also rumors coming out that Journey Brown, their all-conference running back, might be out for the year. So injury concerns there. They're going through a coordinator change. And if one of the trends from 2020 so far we've seen is new coach, new coordinator, new quarterback, sometimes a little bit slow out of the gate. So for Penn State's sake, that's a pretty tough draw week 2 right away. And not to overlook their week 1 opponent, Indiana, who I'm really – I know the headliners, Ohio State, Nebraska this week. I think that this one, Indiana, Penn State, will be more competitive and possible upset there for Indiana.
Brett Cianci, Pick 6 Previews, joins us on Wednesday. Your thoughts on the Alabama-Georgia game?
Yeah, so it was a battle for the first half. You saw a little bit of that momentum shift there at the end of the first half, them drawing that late field goal. But then in the second half, it was like when a three-point shooter heats up, and like a J.J. Redick from Duke back in the day. And once they get going with these deep balls, they just hit a couple of strikes and it's over. So Georgia had the staying power in the first half. but Alabama really blew it open in the second half. You got to credit Mac Jones. I think you put him into the Heisman discussion. The way that he's completing these vertical passing attacks, they really established the ground game well. It looked like a complete team and really made no mistake of who the SEC favorite is right now.
Does this change your opinion or outlook on Georgia at all?
Yeah, I think it does, because when you look at the college football playoff era the last 5 years, last 6 years, it's pretty rare for a team to make a playoff run without elite quarterback play. And I think Stetson Bennett is a good quarterback. He could be potentially above average to great quarterback, but I don't think he's elite. And it's just by comparison, when you look at the rest of their roster, this roster is absolutely loaded. I mean, they won the recruiting title two of the last 3 years. Nationally, that's beating Alabama even. But when you look at it, yeah, quarterback looks like a potential thing that could limit them. So if you get into a shootout like they had in the second half, they didn't really have the guns to match. So that might be tough going forward.
Brett Ciancia joining us. Your thoughts on what's going on in Florida right now?
Yeah, it's a tough situation there. And, when we were talking all throughout the summer, you kind of assumed this might happen somewhere. It's not really – I don't want to call it Florida's fault per se. It's just, these outbreaks seem to be random, the way they're breaking out everywhere. And schools have pretty similar, in fact, I think, standardized testing. So, it's just unfortunate. So, sorry for those athletes down there that are missing out on competitions, but hopefully the health and safety comes first and they're getting cured up and ready to roll. So, yeah, it's impacting not just them. A lot of their opponents are missing games. But it's something to monitor going forward. It's actually kind of a positive if you view it this way, that only we really had the one breakout of Florida. I mean, a lot of those pundits you see nationally were saying that this would be – that Florida would be the norm, and you would have had 15 teams, in month-long quarantines every week and, half the schedule canceled every Saturday. So, I think overall it's been a pretty positive season with that. It's been a safe overall season. So, let's keep it rolling.
Brett Ciancia joining us, talking college football. We'll let you know how you can get all of his information as well. Clemson, and I had it on one of my monitors, has 52 at halftime, scored 73 at Bobby Dodd. Probably could have scored 173. I'm embellishing a little bit, but it doesn't look like this is the year that one of those ACC teams, at least in one game, gives them some trouble, does it?
Yeah, I agree with you. Coming into this weekend, I thought that there were two competitors, really. I thought Notre Dame and UNC could have potentially pulled an upset on Clemson, or at least fought with them a little bit. But the way that Saturday fell, transpired, you saw Clemson put up 73, like you said. And remember, that was 7-0 Georgia Tech. I remember seeing that on, just like you, on one of my monitors, thinking, okay, Georgia
right.
Tech really coming to play today. And then it was just bombs away for Clemson. But I had two competitors coming in to Saturday, Notre Dame and North Carolina. So with Notre Dame, very one-sided, their defense carried them against Louisville in a 12-7 grinded out win. But hey, a win's a win when you compare it to UNC, who came out so flat against Florida State. This will look back. I mean, this will be one of those games of 2020 that I just have no explanation for. I was high on UNC. The rest of the country was as well. They had them fifth. This offense looked unstoppable. Defense was playing well. And then all of it just collapsed against Florida State. They were leaving points on the board, got down to the goal line and couldn't put it in. Fourth downs, 0-for-3. The drops at the end of the game. But really, it shouldn't have even gotten to that point. It was poor outlook. So, yeah, those were my two competitors. I don't know now. They both took major steps back in my power ratings and just overall by watching them.
Notre Dame-Pitt this weekend at Pitt. Kenny Pickett was a no-go in the Miami game. You're up there in Pennsylvania. Is he available for Saturday as far as you know?
I think it's still questionable with Kenny Pickett. And, I really hope they get him back because I watched that Pitt-Miami game and – Pitt's defense is great at generating turnovers. They lead the nation in sacks. They lead the nation in tackles for loss. They really got after Miami and forced King into some mistakes, a couple picks. But, man, the offense just can't move the ball. It's, it reminds me of, when you have a really strong defense and a really failure of an offense, kind of like, it's a stretch, but all the way back to Ndamukong Suh's Nebraska team, where that was the number one defense in the country, but the offense just couldn't give them anything to work with. So they were losing games 7-6, that kind of thing. So with Pitt, yeah, they got to get that offense figured out and it'd be a really complete team. But right now it's one-sided, and hopefully the defense will have to get into a 12-7 shootout like Notre Dame had, not shootout, but a grind out like they had against Louisville.
They will get after Ian Book, though, won't they?
Yeah, for sure. And it'll remind you of that opener where Duke really confused him with some coverages and new pass rushes. Look for Pitt's D-line to get in the backfield. But really, more so, just be a strength on strength, because Notre Dame's offensive line is one of the strongest units they have. In fact, it's one of the best offensive lines in the country. So when you're talking trench battle there, that'll be great. Notre Dame's O-line versus Pitt's D-line. And I'm really excited for that one.
Auburn to date, probably disappointing, and could have another loss or two. Heck, the Kentucky game could have been a loss. The Arkansas game certainly could have been a loss, too, with the officiating there at the end. Tell me what you think about Auburn.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll tell you when I'm right, I'll tell you when I'm wrong. So I did have Florida in the playoff, and it looks like their defense, that might be a whiff. But I was right on Auburn. Coming in, they were ranked 11th by the AP, and every other preseason magazine had them ranked. I didn't have them ranked in the top 25. I had them 27th. And that was more so because of their transition in the lines, their offensive line and defensive line, transitioning out 7 starters of the 9. So, you know, and I thought that'd be a huge issue in the SEC, and it's turning out to be. But also, they've actually, played below my expectations of them, especially offensively, where Chad Morris was coming in. The goal was to spread the ball to the receivers more, get more of a pass game to mix with that, that veer option that Gus Malzahn has always ran. And it hasn't worked. Bringing in more of a passing coach like Morris, Nick's is only 11th in the SEC in passing. In other metrics of passing, he's like 13th out of 14 in the conference. So it was not the desired effect of bringing in Morris. Now there's hot seat talks of Gus again, and just a team that's really struggling. So, I kind of saw that back in June, and a lot of it's coming true, but I never thought the offense would be this stagnant.
I'll let you out the door on this, Hugh Freeze. Is he coaching Liberty next year?
Oh, yeah, this is what a bounce back year for the guy. I mean, they're playing great football, undefeated. I don't know. That part of it, I don't really know. When you're talking about former, coaches that were fired for off the field stuff, we'll see. But I know that football wise, he's proven himself to be a heck of a coach. His offenses at Ole Miss were great. I think some of that was Phil Longo too. He was down there. But, yeah, that's one of the Coach of the Year candidates, what he's doing at Liberty.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, thanks. It's at Pick 6 Previews. That's all spelled out on Twitter, and pick6previews.com. And on Twitter we have, weekly picks, daily content, all my advanced stats and numbers. I load up the Twitter feed on Saturday too and throughout the week. So, yeah, that's at Pick 6 Previews on Twitter.
Outstanding as always, Brett. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Have a good one.
There you go. Brett Ciancia with us. Top of the hour, Blake Ruffino from Pennsylvania down to the boot, down to Louisiana, talking college football. Yeah, I didn't even watch I watched about an inning of Dodgers and Tampa Bay last night. I'm lying to you if I say I'm some MLB fan. I'm a Dodger fan since the 70s, but again, it's not like I keep up with. If other people weren't telling me about it, I wouldn't even know where they stood in the standings before the playoffs. But Mookie Betts, wow, tell you some stories there about him. Very flattering. He's a 6'1" fiber. He's from here. Yeah, tell you some stories. We'll come in right back. Blake Ruffino, top of the hour, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. The big story remains this truck crash here on 40 westbound at the West Loop. It's going to remain out here for quite some time where it's closed on this ramp on 40 westbound here at the West Loop. Traffic's on the increase now down through Mount Juliet on I-40 as you come out of Wilson County into Davidson County. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest now through November 1st. Visit Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This Action Update brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Dodgers take game one of the World Series 8-3 over the Rays. Game two coming up today. Tony Gonsolin pitching for the Dodgers. They're the $1.50 favorite. The Rays a plus 140 underdog. With Blake Snell on the mound, he's 2-2 with a 3.20 ERA in the postseason. The total is 8, juice to the under. NFL Thursday Night Football, the Eagles hosting the New York Giants. Eagles laying 3.5, the total 44. The NFC East, just 5-18-1 combined, outscored by 184 points. On Sunday, the Steelers are a 2-point favorite at the Tennessee Titans. For VSiN.com, I'm Mike Sennett, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Five-state forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this morning: sunny but a high of 82, mostly clear tonight, low 60, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 83, and mostly clear tomorrow night, low 64. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Yeah, Mookie Betts is from here. Played at Overton High School in Nashville. And I believe his senior year was 2011. Played basketball, was a very good point guard. But baseball was the future. Now, did we know he'd be the superstar he is? I maybe some did. I didn't know that. But he actually signed with Tennessee in baseball. Didn't get there, got drafted, and started his journey that way. But boy, what a superstar he is now. Not a real big dude either. Little dude, but incredible ball player. Might be the MVP. We'll see. We'll see. The top pick in the draft, the most recent baseball draft, is from here. Robert Hassel. I believe he went, what, sixth or seventh? One of the top picks a year ago was from Loretta, just down south of here, right there on the Alabama border. The Weathers kid, lefty, who played in the they debuted him in the playoffs against the Dodgers, and he pitched really well. Actually, a couple of innings, if I recall. Incredible lefty pitcher with a phenomenal, I mean, a ridiculous Major League Baseball future. That kind of player. The number one pick in the next draft is here. Kamar Rocker. He lived here. We saw him in junior high. I probably told you this. Saw him in seventh grade. He's probably 6'2 then, pitching. And you knew he'd be really good. Top pick in the draft, couldn't see that at the time, but you knew he'd be good. His dad is Tracy Rocker, who was one of the best defensive linemen in the history of the SEC, who now is at, where is he? It's South Carolina. But they were here because he was working. Rocker was working for the Titans. And then when that ended, he ended up getting hired by the Energy Vampire down in Athens. So they moved down there, and Rocker finished his high school days and everything down there, but signed with Vanderbilt and is back here. And by all projections, will be the number one pick in the next draft. Kumar Rocker. Which, again, I saw him when he was about 12. He was throwing, I'd say he was throwing. I mean, he wasn't one of those prodigies that was throwing 85 when he was 12 or something. He was throwing 71, 72. But he wasn't trying. It was effortless. And you knew that this guy, just give him a couple of years and let's see what it's going to look like. You could tell. You could tell he'd be really good. Armageddon, welcome in.
Bill, how are we doing today?
We are doing pretty well. Thank you.
Bill, it's going to be in the 80s the next 2 days. That's pretty good weather for the RecTech, isn't it?
Yeah, but the RecTech doesn't care. The RecTech works in snow. I mean, if we took the RecTech to Minneapolis Saturday night for the Michigan game and the high is going to be 32 that day, that night's going to be in the 20s, RecTech doesn't care, man. Doesn't even need a coat.
A little barbecue, a little steak, a little chicken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no worries. Last night it was chicken breast.
Bill, I wanted to talk about that Bible thumper this morning.
Which one? Hugh Freeze?
No.
Dabo Sweeney. Yeah, Dabo Sweeney. Okay.
I think we might as well just pencil him into the playoff every year, Bill. He's got no competition in the ACC.
That's, I think, a very fair statement. Typically, you would say, no, wait a minute. Let's play these things out. No. No need to play them out. You're right.
I mean, he's got to, you know, be careful not slip up. But, I mean, I just don't see Clemson having any competition in the ACC in football. And then whoever they play in the championship game, I mean, I just don't see anybody competing with him. So he's going to be in the playoff pretty much every year.
The question is, who would they lose to in that league, in the ACC, on a bad day? Let's say it's a bad day for Clemson. I still don't think they lose a game.
I'm going to name three of the teams, I think, Bill, that will be in the playoff this year. I'm pretty confident in this. Obviously, Dabo's going to be there. I think the Terminator's going to be there. And the Buckeyes. Would you agree with that?
I would. If I had it now, I would be – that's chalky, but it's always chalky. I'd have those three in there. I think those three, and then the fourth one is probably where the debate will lie.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I don't know who, you know, who I would think the fourth team would be. But anyway, now, Bill, you know, I told you about this little weekend trip over to the Carolinas, right?
You're heading to Winston-Salem to watch Wake Forest and the Hokies.
That's correct. A little grudge match on the golf course.
Yeah.
Between me and Big Bro.
Yeah.
So I'll be out on the driving range every afternoon beating balls at Harpeth Hills because, you know, this is a big deal, Bill.
You are typically – what's your handicap, typically?
Well, you know, back in the day, Bill, you know, I could golf my ball pretty good. I mean, I finished – 1982, I finished sixth in the state open. That's kind of my claim to fame.
Yeah.
I have no comparison in my resume between me and Big Bro, though.
Right. So what's your handicap right now?
I mean, I don't play as much as I used to, Bill, but I mean, right. I can still shoot in the 70s.
That's very good. I can still shoot in the 120s.
I can't go down in the 60s like Big Bro, though, Bill.
You could if you went to Shelby, couldn't you?
Anyway, we got to polish the game up a little bit, work on the short game a little bit. Maybe I can give him a run for his money.
All right.
We're very competitive on the golf course, Bill.
Maybe one year, we used to do this. It was many years ago. Maybe we'll have a spring golf scramble for the station. Maybe we'll do that one year.
That would be awesome.
Yep. Yep, I'll drive the beer cart. Don't need me out there swinging a club, but I'll drive the cart. That's what I'll do.
I'd rather have a pretty girl driving it, Bill.
Well, you know, I would too. We'll see. But if we can't afford to pay somebody, then I'll have to do it. How about that?
All right. Music's going to start soon, Bill. Let's get off here.
All right. Top of the hour's coming up. That is true. And, yeah, Armageddon's brother played at Wake and is a very accomplished golfer. Played there in the late 70s, probably overlapping into the early 80s. John out in L.A. checks in with us a lot. Big Notre Dame fan. Played at Southern Cal in the 70s. Played golf there. So a lot of accomplished people in this audience. I did not play golf anywhere because you don't want me playing golf anywhere. I'm that bad. Hour two, that means Blake Ruffino coming up. We'll be back.